can you work for a human rights organisation that seeks truth and transparency if you were part of an organisation that carried out countless human rights abuses itself? That's the question facing the Pat Finucane Centre this morning after its director, Paul O'Connor, admitted to being a member of the IRA as a youth. What of the organisation's funders? Should they be reviewing funding? And what's your reaction to this today? We open up the lines. 03030 80 55 55. The Slugger O'Toole editor, Mick Fielty, is with us. The commentator, Tom Kelly. Mick, good morning to you.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. Tom, morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, what's your take on this, Tom?
I think if there wasn't an election on, it wouldn't be getting the kind of exposure that it's currently getting because, I mean, as someone who grew up in the States in Northern Ireland, loads of young teenagers were lured into paramilitary organisations. The majority of young people didn't get involved in paramilitary organisations. But if you're going to go rape the past and go back and try to take every teenager up who got involved, I think we're going completely backwards. This is a crazy, crazy notion. This man has been working in the human rights field for a long time. And while the Pat Finucane Centre maybe needs to rebrand and offer its services on a wider basis rather than just centering on the one victim in terms of its name, I think that it's just absolutely ridiculous and it's completely hypocritical of the unionists to be making an issue out of this, given the strong relationships that they've had and the platforms that they've shared with various paramilitaries across the city.
Do you agree, Mick?
Well, insofar as I agree with David Trimble when he said just because you have a past doesn't mean to say you can have a future. I think if we try to say that people who were involved in paramilitarism in the past, that they can't play a positive role in terms of creating a peaceful and reconciled Northern Ireland, I think that is deeply unreasonable. To that extent, I absolutely agree with Tom. But there is an issue here, and it's really around non-disclosure of the past. The Pat Finucane Centre say that these allegations first, they don't say who it came from, but an anonymous source first brought this up a couple of years ago, but they didn't believe it was credible. I guess the question the centre needs to ask, or its directors need to ask, is was the director asked directly a question about that at the time when those allegations, or were they just ignored because they didn't come from a credible source? I think that's one thing. The second point I would make is that in terms of reconciliation, we need to be really wary of buying into a form of single-entry bookkeeping in which only the disclosure of credits rather than debits becomes the sole aim of what we're trying to do in terms of building a practicable legacy process. Because the real failure in Northern Ireland is, in a way, one-sided as it may have been, the Pat Finucane Centre at least carried one side of the legacy investigation. But in many respects, it means that only one side of our past is being actively investigated, and that is deeply unsettling. Whatever political capital politicians may make out of this, I think if you look beyond the politicians and the chicanery and the manipulation of politicians, it's deeply unsettling to a large part of the population who suffered very extremely at the hands of Mr. O'Connor's former organisation, albeit he was, we understand, a youth member of that organisation.
We asked the Pat Finucane Centre a number of questions. They've not got back to us to answer them. One of the questions that we've actually asked, Mick, is exactly the point you've just made. We said, at what point did the board of the Pat Finucane Centre ask Mr. O'Connor about the validity or otherwise of these claims? And those are obviously the claims that Pat O'Connor had been in the IRA. The PFC said, PFC said it has been aware for 2 years of these claims. So did they ever ask him? And we don't know because they won't tell us. Tom?
Well, at the end of the day, if there isn't a credible source and there is no manifestation of an actual police investigation, then it's not up to the job of the Pat Finucane Centre to go further than the police are going and screen their own members if it's not a credible source. And I think that the reality is here that the people like Alan McBride...
Of course, it looks like now the source was very credible.
Well, I mean, the claims of one person, you know, they don't stack up as evidence of people that have been involved in a crime. But the reality is you have to judge this man on what he's been doing since. Everybody in Northern Ireland who has been involved in some way with a paramilitary organisation or been supporting them on by the sidelines has a past. And Mick's central point is that you have to be able to move on. Yes, there might need to be more transparency, and there certainly needs to be a process of investigation for what went on the IRA side and the paramilitary side. But it's not just as simple as Mick says, because there's no mechanism for actually investigating what the UVF or UDA did any more than there is for the IRA. I think we have to step back from this and stop elevating it to something that it's not. Alan McBride has said that this man has done great work with victims of all sides, and to be honest with you, he is one of the few voices of reason in Northern Ireland that needs more prominence. And if he says that, then I'm happy with that as an explanation as well.
The other point, Mick, is do we need to know if Mr. O'Connor regrets any of the actions of the IRA, given his role as a human rights organisation? Do we need to know what he thinks about the human rights that were so desperately contradicted by the IRA?
I'm not sure that is necessary. I think it's really a matter of asking why there was only partial disclosure. And it's my very settled view about this that one of the real issues with the peace process is that we're often just too happy to hear a partial disclosure of the truth of the past. And as Tom rightly says, and much of what Tom says I completely agree with, that, you know, I have friends and family affected by some of the cases that the Pat Finucane Centre have investigated, and there's no doubt that having that kind of advocacy for those families in particular, I think, has been a great boon, because one of the issues that victims of all sides suffer from is the lack of general belief in the justice of their case, and especially when there are state forces involved. But it's really about what are we doing with legacy investigation, because as Tom says, the UVF, the UDA, the provisionals, the INLA, all of those are getting away without any serious investigation. And most of the investigation that's going on, and I'm not just saying this about the Pat Finucane Centre, I think, you know, the Police Ombudsman is really the only official state body that has the capacity to investigate the past in any systematic and rigorous way, and they can only do the RUC, the historic cases of the RUC, who are responsible for a tiny minority of the deaths that occurred. So the larger question here isn't about what Mr. O'Connor feels or believes about his past. Presumably, on some level, you know, he sincerely engaged in that past in the first place. It's this problem of partial disclosure, of not telling people about very significant involvement in well, you know, if you look at Lost Lives, this is an organisation that's responsible for something like 49% of all deaths, and probably a larger proportion since its propensity to use explosives and bombs of the wounded of the troubles. So it's the partial disclosure thing that I have the problem with, and I think that's where the public interest questions lie.
You know, Tom, I know that you don't think your past should dictate your future, but can you understand how some people in this country would draw a line between someone who has been the member of a paramilitary organisation and someone who's heading up a human rights organisation?
Well, the fact is that he's not heading up a paramilitary organisation and appears to have had very minor involvement with paramilitaries if he was involved as a teenager. My point basically is, yes, of course, like, people are going to be hurt by disclosures, and I think Mick goes to the heart of it. I think people should be as transparent as they possibly can be. And obviously in the absence of a truth and reconciliation process here, which the place has been crying out for, you have been looking for it for a long time, then we're going to get hit with revelations and revelations as they come out, and it will annoy people, and it will particularly annoy victims. But I think the real thing is that, you know, you're either consistent with this. I mean, I just noticed there someone has passed me a note to say that you know, this is unbelievable. I can't believe you're saying this. You know, I the person's claiming they have support from the loyalist combined communities, and they get grief over that. And I'm saying to them, well, why are you accepting support from certain quarters? And I think that's really what goes to the heart of this, is that people only look through one eye when they come to Northern Ireland, or and only look at one side, and we have to end this. But to be honest with you, if we're going to have a society, we can't continue to look back over our shoulders. That's just the reality of here. And we're going to have to move on, because everything just drags us back and further back into a cesspit. And that's not good for our young people, because we're discussing issues that a lot of them won't even know anything about.
So what do you think should happen now, Mick?
I think there needs to be, I think due process needs to be allowed to happen. I think further speculation on this is very unhelpful. The amount of calumny that flows around Northern Ireland, just purely on speculation. So I think, in a sense, the various processes, you know, the Pat Finucane Centre's engagement with its own funders, any issues that may arise to the criminal justice system, not through any force of culpability, but just as a natural part of the whole process. I think that needs to be got on with.
And I think a lot of the funders have been funding organisations with current paramilitaries involved.
And you know, Margaret Ritchie, you know, did take a stand on that, but wasn't really supported back in when she was minister in her confrontation of the UDA on this. And there is, I think, Tom's point about one-eyedness on this. We have to start getting to a higher point of view where we can see the whole single problem. And there are lots of issues around, because there's so much of a spotlight on the security forces, there's very little understanding of the damage done to many of the victims of the paramilitaries. You know, there are slogans being shouted from platforms that create trigger responses in some of the victims who witnessed the death or the attempted murder of their own loved ones, which is completely not understood, because we simply don't do any kind of investigation into that territory. We have to stop looking at the past, but our inquest courts, our coroner's court, is absolutely stuffed with cases looking for answers against the state. And the vast majority of these offences, many of them still looking for convictions, particularly against members of the security forces, just simply not looked
at. But Mick, can Mr O'Connor call for full disclosure from the state, and that's what he's doing, while it's now in the public domain that he doesn't give full disclosure about himself?
Well, he can do it. You know,
does he have credibility doing it?
He is entitled to ask the question. It's a tough, proper question to ask of the state. But people will draw their own conclusions. This is the problem here. Again, the non-disclosure, it just creates questions, and people will run to assumptions that say, look, it's one route for them. And that's why I say, in a sense, reconciliation cannot rely on single-entry bookkeeping. You can't just keep a tally of your opponent's sins while just sitting quietly on your own side sins. There needs to be a magnanimity around all of this, and I endorse what Tom was saying, is that perhaps in going forward to continue the good work the PFC is doing, it really ought to kind of think about rebranding and broadening its remit in terms of getting justice for families.
And Tom Kelly, do you think Paul O'Connor needs to stand down?
I think that's a matter for the Pat Finucane Centre. I don't think anybody should die in a ditch over this as such. But, I mean, he should try to be as transparent as he possibly can be. He has taken a blow here to the work that he's done. But ultimately, I think it's a matter for him, and it's a matter for the Pat Finucane Centre. I don't think, I mean, resignations don't do anything for us here, you know, because all we're really doing is collecting scalps around the country because we want someone to be pushed out or someone to be held responsible. I think we should start to move beyond this and build the type of society that we actually envisaged back in 1998, which we've never actually achieved. And we have never achieved it because people refuse to let go of the past. And I think it's now time to let go of the past.
OK, Tom Kelly, Mick Fealty, thank you very much indeed.